The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
2 Samuel chapter 21. Man, I have other things that I could preach, but I just got to give you, this is pretty heavy what I'm going to share with you. You okay? 2 Samuel chapter 21, and I'll begin reading with verse 4. And the Gibeonites said to him, "We have not silver or gold. We don't want silver or gold from Saul or from his house. Nor shall you kill any man in Israel for us." So he said, "Whatever you say, I will do." Verse 6, he said, "Let 7 men of the descendants," speaking of descendants of Saul, "be sent, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah, whom the Lord chose." The king said, "I'll give them to you." And verse 9 says that he gave them to them, and then comes the first mention in verse 10 of a woman by the name of Rizpah, who was one of Saul's concubines. And she had 5 sons that were delivered over to the Gibeonites at the command of the Gibeonites. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on a rock from the beginning of the harvest until the late rains poured from heaven. She did not allow She did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night to devour them. David was told what Rizpah, and David was told. Who's David? David's the king. And David was told what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. Now notice this. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan. And I'll sum it up in the 13th verse. And he brought all of the bones of the sons that were hanged, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. Verse 13, verse 14, they buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan in the country of the Benjamin, in Zelah, the tomb of Kish, with his father. So they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God heeded the prayer for the land. So I read a lot of scriptures, and I'll just sum up what was taking place. But this is a pretty amazing story in the Old Testament you don't hear a lot about. And I want to speak to you today. I want to call this sermon "The Spirit of Rizpah." The Spirit of Rizpah. And I'm praying that God will make every one of you daughters of Rizpah. That Spirit of Rizpah that I'm going to preach about will be reproduced even in this room and those who will hear this. And you will leave here with a spirit on you that you didn't have when you came. The scripture said that Saul had sinned by, I'm going to sum this story up. The Gibeonites were a tribe that had joined Israel. They were not Jewish, but they had joined Israel. And Joshua had made a covenant with them. Moses had made a covenant with them. And all these years, that covenant had been kept. And when Saul became king, he did not keep the covenant, and it displeased God greatly, because God is a God of covenant. And in return, when the Gibeonites had the power, they wanted revenge on Saul and his family, for many of their families had been slaughtered. And so, in requirement of payment, they would not take silver, they would not take gold. They said, to pay for what Jonathan and David and the family line, or I should say, what what Saul and Jonathan's family line has done to us, we want his descendants. And so they got all of the sons of Saul, really five of them, and then two grandsons. This is a horrible story. And they hung them to death. And then something strange happens. Rizpah takes a quilt, a garment, she lays it on a rock, and for 3 months, some say even 4 months, but the time of the harvest basically is 3 months. She stayed night and day where her babies, her sons' bodies were suspended between heaven and earth. They were hanging, suspended between heaven and earth, between heaven and hell, between the heavens and between what was beneath the earth. And the scripture said that she would not allow the fowl or the birds, the vultures, to land and destroy what was left of her children, even though they were decaying right before her eyes. She would even, the scripture gives detail, fight off the beast by day, the jackals, the coyotes, the whatever, the wolves and beasts of the field. She would literally fight them off of her babies, her family, her seed. And she stayed there fighting the fowl, fighting the beast at night and the birds during the day. In the parable that Jesus taught, the birds that come to steal the seed that is planted are demonic spirits. And so she's fighting in the night season, the fowl off. She's fighting as a mother. She's fighting as a woman. She's fighting for her family. In the day, the wild beasts come, and she's putting herself in between the bad situation that her children are in. She's fighting the beast off. She's saying in her heart as she sits and camps out on that rock, she laid it on a rock. The church is a rock. The Bible is a rock. Jesus is a rock. I refuse to give up the bones of my baby, because after 3 months, that's all that was left, bones. I refuse to give up the bones of my baby. Can you see her? Can you see the seriousness of a grieving, not one child, but multiple children? It's almost more, it's not a pleasant story in the Bible. Her children are dead, and the Bible says in Romans that we were dead in trespasses and sins. People look alive when they're partying. People look alive when they're living wild. I'm not playing today. I came heavy, so I came, here I go. I don't know nothing else to do but give you what God tells me to do, and she's welcome to replace me with a woman anytime she wants. She said, I'll get into intercession, because I still, in the shape that they're in, sticking a needle in their arm, getting phone calls in the night, he's drunk again. She's going back to prison. In a horrible shape that they're in, I still have a burden for my babies. And I know there's not much left. So much damage has been done. So many years have been wasted. But I still have a burden for my babies. What's the use? They're dead. What's the use? Their future is ruined. What's the use? They're in such bad shape. And some of you that I'm preaching to in this room, your kids have hurt you so bad because they've said words like this to you: you're dead to me. And some of you in brokenness and bitterness have said back to them, you're dead to me. You didn't mean it, but maybe you felt it because you're human and you're hurt. But I've come today to preach that there is a glorious message in this story that I had never seen before in my life that I saw yesterday. Rispa found herself in an uncomfortable place on the rock. She says, and she's looking at her children. She's praying, I'll fight for the dead. I'll fight for my kids or my husband or my mother or my brother or my sister. They're dead in trespasses and sins. They're lost as they can be. But one woman said, I will fight for my dead family members. I'll fight the beast in the night. I'll fight the fowl, the demons that come in the day. I'll fight. I won't give up. I know they're down to bones. I know that they're hung up on drugs, hung up on hurt, hung up on dysfunction, hung up and don't even know what their gender is. I know they look bad, but in the name of Jesus, you can't have the bones. And as long as there's a structure that was put in them, there's still hope. There's still life. God's not finished. And I'm going to show it to you. You think this story ends sad. It doesn't. It doesn't. There's a glorious type in this story that connects to the New Testament. And I want to show it to you. Maybe your children are decaying in their faith. Send them off to college and they come back questioning everything. There's not even a God. But don't you give up on them. The spirit of Rispa, your daughters of Rispa. And they say, the more hell comes at them, the more I'll spread out on the rock and I'll cry. And we got to have that kind of move of God among the women in the world today. And especially in this nation, we've got to intercede, which means to intercede means you enter in. Let's say here's your child and here's demons. And it means you intercede. You get in between what is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And you say, no, you cannot have my family. Everybody take a praise break and just let the spirit of Rispa begin to, I want you to yearn to see your children in the altar. I want you to yearn to hear their voice praising God. I want you to yearn hearing them saying, Daddy, Mom, I'm coming home. Can't you hear it? They're suspended. They're just hanging, suspended. The enemy thinks that he's got them. But Jesus was hung up for our hang-ups. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, every family can be healed. Every child can be healed. Every marriage can be healed. Don't you give up on what's left. Fight for what's left. Get your fight back. Come on. Are there any women in this room who know how to pray thunder prayers? Who know how to get ugly and get down on the ground and spread the prayer cloth and say, devil, you will not win. They will not die lonely. They will not die in their own vomit. They will not die off of fentanyl. You cannot have our sons and our daughters. We come in the spirit of Rizpah. Clap your hands and shout amen. Come on, come on, come on. Something's stirring in this place. Rizpah and the spirit of Rizpah says, I will not give up. No matter how bad, no matter what my family lineage looks like, I will fight for the addicted. I will fight for the thief. I will fight for the liar. I will fight for the one who stole money from me. I will fight for the one who said they wouldn't and they've done it again and again and again. I just want to tell demons, we've got our buzzard bat out and we're going to kill some vultures and we're going to kill some beasts and we're going to say we will never give up on our babies. They're suspended. But when you begin to call on the king on their behalf, suicide almost got them. But God's plan was greater. You can't have them. Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you faint not. They're suspended right now. And sometimes you have to get uncomfortable and push the plate away and fast. Sometimes you have to get in an uncomfortable place like Rizpah and say, these will not be normal days, but I'm going to get three or four of my little intercessors, and we're going to stand together, and when I'm weak, we're going to link arms, and we're going to find out who's got more power, the Holy Ghost or evil spirits. I believe greater is he that is in us. You can't have them. Fight them off. Fight them off. Fight for somebody who can't fight for themselves. They're suspended. They're not going up. They're just stuck. And the enemy thinks he's got them. Fight for those who have broken your heart. Because here's the point that I've been wanting to get to now. Because there is a king. I don't know if you caught it, but this word was used in the text I read. The king heard about the woman who wouldn't quit praying. And when they told him, the king went and gathered the bones and took, cut them down, gathered the bones. As long as the bones are there, there's history there, there's proof there, there's structure there. He gathered the bones back. The king, I believe, is about to gather the bones. I believe we're about to see unprecedented prodigal sons and daughters come back to the Father's house. If we won't give up, if we won't quit, if we won't say it's been so long and nothing's changed, that is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit is saying, fight. The king is about to gather the bones. The king heard her cry. And I'm telling you that there's a church right here that's fighting for the dead. Anybody, any mothers out there ready to fight for the dead? Anybody ready to say, no, they're dead in trespasses and sins. But you know what? You know what David did? He took the bones, took them to the graveyard of the kings. In other words, I know they've been suspended, but the king heard Rizpah pray, and because she wouldn't give up, he took what was left and buried the bones in the king's graveyard. I'm putting them back in the kingdom. The Gibeonites pulled them out and thought they were ruined, and I put them back in the kingdom. But here's what messed me up. He buried them in the king's graveyard, where all the kings were buried. Look at this verse in Romans chapter 6. Throw it up. Therefore, New Testament, water baptism. Everybody say, water baptism is being buried in the king's grave. Therefore, we were buried. Everybody read it. We were what? Buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so even also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Let me show you this one, Colossians chapter 2. But we are buried with him in baptism, in which you see, when you get baptized in water, when a person gets saved, when God goes and gathers the bones of those dead in trespasses and sins and comes back and washes your sins away, he then wants you to be buried in the king's graveyard. And just as sure as they buried the king of kings in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, that was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way. He has nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle, triumphing over everything hell has tried to do to you and your family. God says, I won't let it prosper. I'm burying you in the king's graveyard, and by resurrection power, I will renew, I will restore, I will raise back up in newness of life. You and your children and your children's children. If you believe it, give the Lord a praise. Now is the time to believe for your family. Now is the time to get a spirit of Rizpah and say, I believe for my children. Now is the time to believe that dead relationships between you and your mom, or you and your dad, or you and your brother, or you and your sister, or whoever. Now is the time to let a spirit of Rizpah come upon you and speak life. Speak life. Speak life. They've been in a suspended place of indecision, but they're coming home. I said they're coming home. Now I want to close with this. In the Old Testament, no woman ever saw the glory of God behind the veil. No woman was in the Levitical priesthood line. No woman ever saw or touched the mercy seat. No woman ever even could get near the Ark of the Covenant. The women were confined to the court of the women. It's called the court of women, and it was totally separated unto itself. No woman was ever allowed in the whole Old Testament to ever feel or experience the Holy of Holies. But in the New Testament, I can say of a woman something I could never say of a man. In the Old Testament, if a man unworthy touched the Ark of the Covenant, he dropped dead, because it was God's presence. It was Jesus, the God of creation, who said, I'll dwell between the seraphims and the angels' wings above the mercy seat. And when Uzzah touched the Ark of the Covenant, he dropped dead. On another occasion, when someone lifted it, 50,000 Israelites were slain. No man ever touched the glory. But there was a young 17, perhaps 18-year-old girl by the name, virgin by the name of Mary, who for 9 months in her womb, the only other human being on earth under the new covenant, it's like God got lavish and he said, I'm going to make up under the new covenant what all those male chauvinists did in the old covenant. I'm going to make up for it. And here's what I'm going to do. Only in the deity of Jesus' flesh was the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the glory of God walking around in Jesus. But he trusted that to one other person, a little girl named Mary, about 18 years old. 9 months, she carried in her womb the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. In the uterus of a woman, the only time the glory of God was completely encased, other than in deity, which was Jesus Christ, was when he said, I'll let a woman carry my presence. When Mary had the baby, there was no midwife there. The Bible says she brought forth her firstborn. She brought forth. This girl's having a baby in a stable, in a manger, and there's nobody there to assist her. You know Joseph didn't know anything to do. She is there all by you. We wouldn't want his help. He's fainted. He's been out for an hour. She brought forth the Ark of the Covenant. A woman was the first to embrace him. A woman was the first human to touch him. That's why there's particular verses like, blessed are the paps, the breast. Blessed, it says of Mary, that's a Bible verse. Blessed are her breasts that gave nurture to him. Hear the tenderness. I'm trying to say to you that God says there's a place women can get in intimacy with me that men can't even go. I invite you to come into that place today. No one was able to be more intimate with his presence than a woman. A pattern was established to allow the woman to be intimate with God. Women have the ability to entertain and embrace the presence of God. And that's why I'm almost done. The word travail is so important. It's a word that means nothing to men. Travail. When Zion travails, then she shall bring forth. Travail is a word that is directed to women, a special responsibility that you can get in such a place with God that the King will hear your cry, that He will use you in ways that men cannot even enter into. I believe what I'm preaching because I have a mother who showed me this all my life. I believe I'm in the ministry because I had, you know, you hear a lot about you were chosen from your mother's womb, but we forget about the mother. And you do this, and you reach, and Jensen, you do this. She was fasting and praying before I ever got on the earth. Raise your hands all over this room and say, Lord, I want to go. I want to go into the Holy of Holies. I want to be a Rizpah in my generation. Is there a Rizpah in the house this morning who would say, oh God, this afternoon, who would say, oh God, I want to see my family buried in baptism. Hallelujah. Raised to newness of life, cut down from their hang-ups. Free and alive in Jesus. Stand to your feet all over the room. And I ask you to be very reverent. But I got to obey God. If you are a mother, if you are a wife, if you are a woman in this room today, and you would say, Pastor, I want to come because while you're preaching, I've had somebody on my heart and on my mind. And I want the spirit of Rizpah to come on me. If that's you, get out of your seat and come down here on behalf. You're standing as an intercessor between the beast and your babies. Your husband, your wife. No, not your wife, your husband. But if you have a wife, let's get everybody saved. He loves you. Jesus does. Come on. This is powerful. Now, hold on, guys. Hold on just a minute. I don't want us just to hear another song and sing another song. I want a spirit of intercession to come on the women. If Zion travails, that's a travailing. If Zion travails, I know this isn't, you know, we got all kinds of denominations here and all kinds of people, but when you came here, you knew what we do. And in the hour that we're in, don't we need a little more than to go a little bit further into the presence of God? Don't we need to have to embrace Him and touch Him and say, in faith, not in pity, not in brokenness, not in hope so, there is a place of faith where you can say, you will not have my family. I will not stop until I see them buried in the waters of baptism and raised to newness of life. All right, ladies, throw those hands up all over the room. And I want you to begin to call on God and pray for your families. I want you to call your children's name out, your children's children's name out. I want you to begin to call on those in your family that need salvation, that are suspended. They're somewhere between heaven and hell. There's friends that are influencing them and situations, and you feel it wakes you up at night. Come on, play. It wakes you up at night. It wakes you up. You worried about them. You got a teenager that's somewhere suspended.
You know they got the bones, they love the Lord. You know they know the truth, but hell's coming after them right now. Beat the buzzards off. Beat the beast off. There's a beast that's assigned to every one of our children. Beat it off and tell it, you can't have my family. You can't have their mind. You can't have their body. You can't have their spirit. You can't have their tongue. You can't have their heart. You cannot have them. They belong to the kingdom. They will be buried in the king's graveyard called baptism. Lord, we cry out. Come on, begin to pray now. Begin to pray now if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to give you the language of intercession. Hallelujah. Let Him intercede through you. Oh, Satan, he hates that noise. He wants you to fear. He wants you to be filled with anxiety and dread. He wants you to be all upset. But in the name of Jesus, I speak peace to you. All you got to do is pray. All you got to do is stand there on the rock and say, no, no, no. I know what God's promised me. Let's praise Him in this room. Lift Him up. Lift that husband up. Lift that son up. Lift that daughter up. Lift that mom up. Pray. Pray. Cut them down by prayer. Cut them loose by prayer. Set them free by prayer. It's not too late. They're not too ruined. We have a resurrected king.
You picked up all my pieces.
Pray. Pray in faith. Pray in assurance. All things are possible.
This is how fight my battles. This is how fight.
victory and in faith, not fear. This is how I plead the blood of Jesus over every woman under the sound of my voice. Release a wave of healing across this audience. Heal women. Heal by your presence. Your presence heals disease and sickness and fear. Depression. Heal, oh God. Stretch forth your hand to heal. Heal families. Heal homes.
The Lord dropped a little line in my heart yesterday that I want to give it to you. And I want you to remember it. It's important. Proverbs 18 said that the power of death and life are in the tongue. This is what the Lord dropped in my heart yesterday. I don't hear God's voice audibly, but it hit me and I wrote it down as quick as I could write it down. He said, words are multipliers. So speak life. Because whatever you speak multiplies. If you speak fear, it multiplies. If you speak defeat, if you speak shame, if you speak the past, it multiplies. But if you speak victory, if you speak faith, if you speak the joy of the Lord is my strength, words are multipliers. Speak life. Speak life over your children. I want you to do one more thing and I'll leave you alone. My burden will be lifted. But I want you to link up with two or three women and say, we're going to pray about it. We're going to pray about it. So just find a woman around you and just lay your hand on their shoulder. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I speak life to you. I speak life to your children, to your dream, to your children, to your calling, to your family. It's going to come to pass. God brought you here. God brought me here to stand in agreement that in the name of Jesus, our families will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I'm going to hear it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to experience it. I can't die until I see some things. And there's some things my eyes will see and my ears will hear. Now begin to praise Him. The anointing of Rizpah, the spirit of Rizpah is upon you. Decree it, speak it, speak it. God will multiply it. Speak it in praise. Speak it in prayer. Speak it in the morning, in the noontime, and in the nighttime. Words will multiply the miracle. Turn to a woman beside you and say, your miracle is en route. Your miracle is on the way. There's a miracle en route for your house in Jesus' mighty name. Give Him a shout of victory in this house. Whoa! I feel that. I feel that. It's in motion. It's in route. There's a miracle coming down your dusty road.
God be the glory. God be the glory. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room, you'd say, Pastor Jensen, I came with a friend. I got kidnapped and dragged here. I don't even know what I was getting into, but every speaker has messed me up. Every song, I don't know why, my mascara keeps running. I need a change in my own life. I came here for one thing, to check the box, and because I like this person I came with. But I really need to get right with God. I want to tell a young lady right now, there's a church that's been praying for you and fasting for you. There's a mama, there's a daddy that's been praying for you. That's why you feel moved. You're tired of the suspended place. It's miserable there. I need to get right with God. Pastor Franklin, pray for me. That's you. Boldly lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise it unashamed. Unashamed. Beautiful. Raise it high and unashamed. Keep it high. If you don't know you're right with God and you want to be, keep your hand up right where you're standing. Beautiful. 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 Now look around you. Keep your hand up. Keep it up. If there's a woman around you, I want you to lay your hand on her right now and just baptize her in the name of Jesus, in the love of God. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, right where you're standing, everybody pray this prayer. Jesus, I surrender. Baptize me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Wash me, cleanse me, and raise me to newness of life. Today marks the change. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. One more time, lift up a mighty praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To God be the glory. Maybe you ought to sing one more song. You got one more song? Man, I feel the Lord in this place. Lift your hands up toward heaven one more time. Everybody pray for a son if you've got a son, or you got a burden for a son. Pray right now. Pray for a son. Lord, there are women in this room who want to have babies and have tried and tried with their husband to have babies. Would you right where we are standing here worshiping you? I don't know why this comes to me, except you are brooding over this place by the Holy Spirit. And would you give miracle babies, and I feel like praying miracle baby boys for some reason. And I know about miracle baby boys. After Courtney, Carissa, Caroline, and Connor, I had Drake, a miracle, or Cherise had Drake, a miracle baby boy. Hallelujah. Man, I feel happy in my soul. Right now, pray for girls. Everybody, pray for girls if you've got girls and granddaughters. Just call their names out. Every one of them, call them out. And everybody around you is in agreement. We're all in one accord. This is how they were praying in the upper room. They were in one mind and in one accord, very focused. I pray for Cherise, spirit, soul, and body. I pray for Courtney and Carissa, Caroline, Connor, Leo. I pray right now for Amelia. For Elliot. Hallelujah. For Vivian. Mighty name of Jesus. The mighty name of Jesus. Pray for Pat. I pray for Mom, Katie. Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Mystery Resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.